Last week, the U.S. Department of Justice sued the state of Georgia. The DOJ alleges Georgia segregates and mistreats thousands of public school students. The kids are enrolled in a statewide program called GNETS. It serves students with behavior-related disabilities. The Justice Department's lawsuit is the first to go after a state-run school system for segregating students with disabilities. Debbie Tucker of Parent to Parent Georgia told CBS 46 in Atlanta that all children have a right to interact with one another.
Here we are in 2016, and we're still fighting for the basic rights that have been assured under law for centuries. And now it really is taking DOJ to step in and go, Georgia, you have to come into compliance.
Last year, Adam Ragusa talked with Marion Wang. She investigated the GNETS program for ProPublica. Adam also spoke with Natasha Hall, whose son is in GNETS. Here's that conversation.
Firstly, Marion, just tell us, how does the GNETS program work?
So GNETS is a separate network that serves every one of the school districts in Georgia. And you know, it's usually the schools themselves that are sort of making these referrals saying this child belongs in GNETS. And so that's how there are 5,000 kids in GNETS. What they're intended to do is provide an education and some specialized support services for these kids and to, you know, really give them the support they need both on the behavioral front, but also to move them forward in their education.
And to be clear, they go to separate facilities, right?
Separate facilities. Sometimes, you know, it's a different separate wing of the same building. But, you know, the DOJ hit Georgia very hard on some of these GNETS facilities. You know, even in the same building, you have kids using separate entrances. You have kids using separate restrooms. You have kids, you know, with completely different lunch times. These children just never interact in a lot of cases with their peers who do not have disabilities.
And as I understand it, one of the reasons why the Justice Department is involved here is that the law says that schools are obligated to try to serve kids in the most integrated way possible, right?
Yeah, I mean, the special education law is that kids need to be educated in the least restrictive environment. And so that they consider that to be, you know, a really serious thing and possibly a violation of the IDEA and the ADA. And so there's a lot for the feds to sort of look into, and often this happens as a result of the Office of Civil Rights getting a lot of complaints from families and advocates.
What kind of instruction do kids get in these separate programs?
Well, so according to the DOJ report, they were finding that particularly at the middle school and high school level, you had these kids sort of sitting in front of computers doing computer-based instruction. So they didn't even have any teachers in some of these classrooms.
Wow.
And, you know, at the lower level, There were a lot of teachers who aren't certified to teach in the subjects that they're teaching. They hit them pretty hard on some of these issues of just the education not being the same, the instruction not being at the level that these kids need. And often it's a result of these kids not being really grouped with their specific grade. You know, you have kids that are sort of mixed in these facilities across different grades.
Which might be a necessity, right, when you consider that I imagine these programs are very small.
In some cases, yeah. I think it depends on the region. It's split into 24 regions in Georgia.
Hmm. Okay. So what else is the DOJ alleging?
Well, so one of the most striking things to me was that the DOJ essentially said most of the kids in here, nearly all of them, don't need to be here. They don't need to be in the segregated setting. If your neighborhood schools would just provide them more support rather than sort of at the first, you know, instance or incident, you know, they found that after a lot of the time these recommendations that a child be placed in GNETS, that was occurring after one incident or a string of minor incidents. The example they gave was using inappropriate language with a teacher. And so if these mainstream sort of neighborhood schools were less quick to sort of shuttle the kid out of there after one incident or a couple incidents, a lot of these kids could be provided the right support in their neighborhood school setting, in an integrated setting, with just more support and with more flexibility, with teachers sort of understanding that inclusion is a value that we have.
Natasha Hall in Smyrna, your son started middle school. He has been in the GNETS program for several years now. He started in kindergarten, I think you said. How did he end up there?
It's funny she said in minor incidents. He ended up there in kindergarten because within the second week of school, I remember getting a phone call that he was asked to sit in timeout or rest down area, and he was having an emotional breakdown. He was crying. He was not listening. He was yelling. I came up to the school. I found him sitting there, and he was doing just that. No one could tell me why. No one could tell me what triggered it, any of that. And then probably about a week later, I was told that he was non-compliant. And when I asked why he was non-compliant, they said he didn't follow directions. And again, this is a kindergartner. This is like a five-year-old that they were telling me this about. And at that point, I found myself in a meeting with counselors and the principal and teachers that they considered a team. And they wanted to start developing an IEP and declared him EBD, which is a...
IEP is like a... What is it called? Individualized in education program? Is that what that means?
Correct. Correct.
Okay. So basically, you know, they called you in and they said, listen, your kid's a problem and we need to have a conversation about it because kindergartners never have emotional outbursts or are uncompliant.
Correct.
Sorry to make a joke out of it, but it can seem silly. Did you have to consent to your son being put into the GNETS program?
Well, what they did was they never explained to the parents, and I've sat in a number of IEPs with different parents. They never came out and said, hey, this is a GNETS program. This is what you're consenting to. What they actually state to us and what's given to us on paper, and we later find out as we go on through the years and the programs and get more knowledge about it, then we find out it's actually a GNETS program. They actually come to the table and tell us, hey, your kid has this this problem, and they usually declare it ADHD, or they'll just give us emotional behavior disorder, which qualifies him under IDEA to receive services and eligibility in this classroom. And we've been segregated in a classroom since kindergarten.
Right. So they basically just kind of say, hey, come this way. We're going to give your kid everything that he needs without saying exactly what that means. What's
Correct.
His experience been like?
I've watched my kid go from a normal kid to a human being that's depressed. He cries every day to go to school. When we pull up in the school, he tells me he hates this place. Why does he have to go? He refers to it often as a jail, or the people hate him. He's stupid. He's weird. My son was full of life before I moved to Georgia and put him in the school system here. And now I literally sit and watch my son tear himself apart every day.
I'm so sorry to hear about your experience. Is there a way that you could get him into a mainstream school again?
We're fighting for that now. My prayer is yes. But as of right now, the team, in which the team usually consists of maybe six or more people, so my little voice, even though I'm the parent, really doesn't matter because everyone else that's involved in the school says different. And as long as they say different, I mean, my vote is nothing.
Right. Well, in a statement, Cassandra Allen Hollifield of the North Metro GNETS in Atlanta says this. They say, without GNETS, local school districts would be tasked with building similar programs that offer the services that GNETS provides, even if the district only required the services for two students. Districts would likely be unable to provide a program with as many supports and services as GNETS currently offers. Additionally, without the GNETS program, there are many students who would be served in much more restricted environments, including residential placements. So that's the perspective from one GNETS program. Well, Leslie Lipson is an attorney at the Georgia Advocacy Office, a nonprofit group in the state for people with disabilities. And we talked to her. She says that the GNETS model just isn't working.
The model is this. Kids go into these programs. They get good supports, and then they go back to their neighborhood school. Well, the way it works is, if you could picture this, let's say kids were getting good supports. From the audit and the letter of the finding, we know kids aren't. But let's say they were. Then you go back to your neighborhood school where these supports and services aren't available. Common sense that the kid's not going to do very well because the supports and services are not there. And kids end up back in GNETS.
Marianne, I think what we're hearing there is shades of old school Southern segregation, right?
Absolutely. And I think one of the things that you mentioned in your intro that was so interesting was that some of these school buildings, these facilities, these run-down facilities, are the exact same ones that were being used in the Jim Crow era to house black students. And I just think that that's a stunning sort of factoid.
Yeah. Natasha Hall, you have a 10-year-old son in the GNETS program, as we mentioned earlier, with our last moment here. Tell us, how do you think that the system could have served your son better?
they could have definitely provided more support. Instead of throwing him immediately after what was on black and white, two incidents that were very minor, they could at least observed him. They could have collected data. They could have provided a parapro for him. Just things like that. But instead, he was always thrown into that type of environment. So right now, he knows nothing different. We've always been bused about 20 minutes or more to a whole other school outside of our area, period. So yeah. He doesn't know anyone. So just basic. So even helping him with social skills like that, letting him be involved with people, you know, everyday faces that he's going to see.
Natasha Hall speaking last year with Adam Ragusa. Adam also spoke with Marion Wang, who reported on problems with GNETs for ProPublica. In response to the Justice Department's lawsuit, Georgia School Superintendent Richard Woods released a statement. He said, quote, GNETs is a critical resource for the children it serves, many of whom would otherwise face isolation in residential treatment facilities. We are disappointed in the DOJ's decision to sue, especially given the tremendous efforts we've put into enhancing the educational experience for the small percentage of children who receive education services from GNETs programs. We believe these efforts are working, and we have communicated that to the DOJ. End quote. We'll continue to follow developments in this lawsuit.